I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, the NFL in the days when headbanging was celebrated. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce, who's on the road this week for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
Like lots of NFL teams, the Philadelphia Eagles will open their season on September 9th, and Rob Vito, the CEO of Unequal Technologies, has said of their quarterback, Michael Vick, quote, "I guarantee he will not get hurt." How can Mr. Vito be so sure?
Because apparently Mr. Vito has invented a better form of Kevlar, which is going to protect Michael Vick's ribs, which got injured in a preseason game a few weeks ago. I don't know. I mean, I guess it'll help Michael Vick in case any of the defensive ends come, like, with firearms.
The NFL will play Week 1 and maybe beyond with replacement referees. Demora Smith, the executive director of the NFL Players Union, has called the lockout of the officials, quote, absurd. But was he serious when he said he could not rule out a player strike?
I don't believe he was serious, but he should have been, because that's a very proper response, given the fact that the alleged genius of Roger Goodell is going to flush the entire quality of play and the safety of the athletes down the drain for a bunch of money the NFL can find in the sofa cushions.
Various former faculty leaders at Penn State University have said the report that the NCAA used to punish the university was based on, quote, scant evidence, and that much of it was, quote, conjecture at odds with the truth. Louis Free, the author of that report, disagreed. What say you, Mr. Pierce?
I think that there are faculty members at Penn State who, while they believe they have the reputation of their institution at heart, should, like, stay away from microphones for a while.
Meanwhile, interest in the late Penn State head coach remains high among members of the reading public. Are you surprised that Joe Posnanski's biography of Joe Paterno will debut at number one on the New York Times bestseller list?
No, I'm not surprised at all, and I think that given what he's about to go through, I hope he can take comfort in that, because he got handed a situation that no writer really wants, and I'm afraid that there's going to be a certain dent in credibility that's never going to come out.
Before he was sent to the Dodgers last Saturday in a deal that rid the Red Sox of more than $260 million in salary, ace Josh Beckett was having a very difficult summer. This week, he blamed the Boston media for his troubles. As a former member of that group, what do you think?
Yes, because I had to go into the transformance machine and surrender this power when I left the Daily Boston Media. But we all have this magical power to take people's skills away and make them jackasses. I can't do that anymore.
Prevent them from throwing strikes and forcing them to throw balls.
Making them forget what they're really supposed to be doing.
Philadelphia Phillies star Jimmy Rollins was benched on Thursday after two base-running errors in the same inning. Manager Charlie Manuel had benched Rollins in the past for not hustling. I wonder if it's time for baseball to come up with a more appropriate punishment for players who just aren't trying hard enough.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's ask the folks in soccer, tennis, and badminton what they do. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They don't do anything to players who don't try hard enough. Although the badminton people seem to have gotten tough on it in recent days.
Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals had an eventful game on Wednesday night. He hit two home runs to help his team beat the Marlins, and then he was ejected after spiking his helmet in front of the first base ump after failing to beat out a ground ball in the ninth. Is Harper's temper inextricably linked to his talent?
It wouldn't be the first time in baseball if that were the case. Please see Mr. Cobb, comma, tie for the proof. It's really kind of an odd thing. I've never seen a player ejected for that. I've seen them ejected for throwing their helmet in response to a called third strike. But I've never seen a player ejected for being mad at himself.
A week ago, a 50-year-old right-hander named Roger Clemens went 3 1/3 scoreless innings for the Sugarland Skeeters of the Independent Atlantic League, and apparently Mr. Clemens was encouraged by that outing.
Plenty of good seats still available for the Sugarland Skeeters, the rest of the Sugarland Skeeters schedule, I'm sure. And I didn't think I could say Sugarland Skeeters schedule.
And on September 7th, those who pay the freight will see Roger pitch again.
I don't know that I can say this with any confidence, but I think Roger may be headed down a trail of real embarrassment here.
NHL labor talks stalled on Friday, making a September 15th lockout more likely. Rumors are swirling that league star Sidney Crosby might sign to play in Europe this season if the league does announce a lockout. So what are the chances Mr. Crosby will need to learn to say Das Vidaniya?
Well, depending on where he winds up in Europe, Bill, yes. I mean, Das Vidaniya isn't said in Europe quite as extensively as it was at one time.
Well, it is by a lot of players who play in Europe but started out in Russia.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen. Martin Saint-Louis of the Tampa Bay Lightning has already talked about going back to the team he played for the last time we had an NHL lockout. So, yes, the NHL players do have a lot of options.
At a speaking engagement this week, Lance Armstrong introduced himself as the fellow who had won the Tour de France 7 times, and apparently nobody jumped up to correct him. We haven't spoken, you and I, since Mr. Armstrong said he would not do battle with USADA anymore. What do you make of his decision?
I think he got tired of dealing with mushy charges that come out of nowhere. I think USADA has overreached a little bit in doing what they did with the Tour de France, although I can't believe that USADA would do that without consulting the people who run the tour.
There were early upsets in the 2012 U.S. Open. Venus Williams is out. Joe Wilfried Tsonga is out. And on Wednesday evening, Laura Robson beat Kim Clijsters, a 3-time U.S. Open winner who had announced that this Open would be her final tournament. Any thoughts on the long and lucrative career of this former number one in both singles and doubles?
No, I mean, except to say that I used to follow tennis very closely, and I had no idea until you said it that Kim Clijsters had won 3 U.S. Opens. I mean, there's been a slippage in interest in that sport over the last decade or so, and I think that's a significant indication of that. Is anything? And also, Andy Roddick has decided that as soon as he loses in the U.S. Open or whenever he wins it, it will be the last tennis tournament he plays.
Nikolai Davydenko wants gender equity in tennis. He has proposed that men should play the best of 3 matches in Grand Slam and Davis Cup tournaments, just as the women currently do. Good idea?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. As far as the people who put tennis on television, no. And I guarantee you, as far as the people at Wimbledon are concerned, Mr. Davydenko should shut up, because they're in love with their wonderful fifth set play till you drop tiebreaker thing.
Charlie, Usain Bolt said this week that he wants to defend his 3 Olympic titles at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. Would it be an exaggeration to say that all over the world, large hearts and fast bodies fell?
Yeah, I think that, but I also think, and I'm going to try to phrase this very carefully, Usain Bolt should be careful what he wishes for, because if he does go there and he does do this again, given the nature of our current really stupid war on some people who take some drugs, the drumbeats are going to get even louder about him. I have no reason to believe he's not clean. I have no reason to believe he isn't doing what he's doing by eating Wheaties. But by saying this, he's painting a really big bullseye on his back for those brave drug warriors who like to declare victory without after winning anything.
And finally, Charlie, just a few days after whipping his helmet at Matt Kenseth's car during a race in Bristol, Tony Stewart showed up at the Charlotte Motor Speedway in a World War II era tank, and by golly, nobody's going to bump draft him in that, right?
Yeah, first of all, it doesn't corner very well. Okay, it's really solid. It doesn't get loose in the turns, and it's got a really good setup, but doesn't corner very well. Second of all, is helmet throwing a theme in our show today?
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Paul.